Each one of you are here. Whenever you're missing, if any of you are missing, I miss you, and we miss you. And it's just good to see each other and to have brothers and sisters that we love and care for. But this morning, I'm going to do something maybe a little different than what I've been doing. So we've been studying various passages in the book of Acts. And today I want to think about the life of someone who's figures very strongly in the book of Acts. But we're not going to be looking so much at a certain chapter, but kind of his whole life. So we're going to be talking about the life of the Apostle Peter. And he's probably, in the Bible, one of the people we know the most about, especially in the Gospels. You have... He seems to say more than other apostles say, and he seems to be involved perhaps more in some of the stories. So there's quite a bit of material to deal with. So, you know, Peter had the opportunity, the great honor, to walk physically by Jesus' side for 3.5 years. And then even after Jesus left and ascended to heaven, you know, I think he almost walked closer to Christ after that, even though there was, you know, Christ was in heaven and he's here on this earth, but he really had a close relationship with Christ. But to start out, I'm going to ask you guys, what stands out to you the most in the life of Peter? Just feel free to speak up. Is there something in the life of Peter that kind of stands out to you? Maybe it resonates with you.
He was impulsive, but yet he was quick to remember that God loved him and would forgive him. Mm. I always think the difference him and Judas, or the contrast of each other, because Judas. Mm. Judas didn't understand God's love and forgiveness, but Peter did. Mm.
Yeah. So it isn't so much our mistakes as what we do about it, right? Anyone else have something, some aspect of Peter's life that stands out to you? And I think we all do that to some degree. We've all done that, maybe I should say. We've had, I know, with me, I can remember all the times, at least it seems like, all the times that I put my foot in my mouth. Like, it's something I never can forget, and I'm like, I can't do that again. So I've actively tried to avoid that, but it happens to all of us. So, you know, we don't know very much about Peter's childhood and youth. There's really nothing in the Bible that tells us about how he was raised or anything like that. But we know he was a Galilean. And the residents of Judea, so around Jerusalem, they looked down on Galileans. So, you know, they thought that Galileans were uneducated. They thought that they were of questionable ancestry. And, you know, of course, in the Jewish culture, ancestry mattered a lot. You wanted to be able to trace your ancestry back to Abraham and, you know, to the tribe that you're part of. All these things were very important to them. Probably too important, because they thought, well, I'm a descendant of Abraham, I'm going to be saved. So they looked down on Galileans. Galilee was diverse. It was a place where mixed heritage was common. And, you know, you can kind of imagine that unkind things were said. Well, you're not really a Jew. You're not really Abraham's child, because probably some of your ancestors weren't the best people. And that might have not even been true. So, you know, I was thinking about it, and, you know, a boy growing up in Galilee would probably never expect to have the chance to follow the great Messiah, to be a disciple of the Messiah. You know, he probably would have thought, well, the Christ is going to pick more important people than me. But as Peter grew older, he likely helped his father with the fishing business, and eventually he became fully employed in that. And then sometime in his 20s, Peter heard about John the Baptist. And at the time, John the Baptist was really causing a stir around the country. And you think the Holy Spirit must have kind of prompted Peter to go and check out this strange preacher. And John was strange. I mean, he wore rough clothing. He was, he had a strange diet. It wasn't bugs, but still, it wasn't your average diet. And so Peter traveled probably quite a ways to hear John speak. And once there, he stuck around for a while. And although Peter wasn't there at the time, one day John proclaimed that Jesus was the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. So Andrew heard this and he's like, oh, this is interesting. This is what we've been waiting for. Let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 1 and starting verse 40. So Andrew was Peter's brother, and he heard John speak these words. Apparently Peter was doing something else at the time, but he wasn't far off. John chapter 1, starting in verse 40. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ, or the Anointed One. And he goes and he tells Peter, he's like, we found the one. He doesn't have any, there's no doubt in his mind. And Peter accepts this. Peter doesn't question it. And Peter spends a little time, Peter and Andrew, James and John, they spend some time with Christ at this time. And then the time comes when Christ goes off into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And Andrew and Peter, they go back to their fishing nets. I want to turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. So they went back to their fishing nets, but Jesus comes and finds them. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets, or immediately followed him. So they didn't wait, they didn't consider, they didn't show hesitation, but they immediately left their nets and they followed Jesus. They didn't even look back. You know, sometimes you got to leave the fishing boats. Jesus says, you know, Jesus calls you and you say, well, You got to follow. If you walk with Jesus, you have to respond to his call. And it's not really something that happens only once. Yes, there's the first time, but there's other times throughout your life where he calls and says, take the next step. Do the thing that I'm asking you to do. Continue to follow me. And if you remember, there was another man who was given the same chance, the rich young ruler. And he had the opportunity. He could be a disciple with Jesus, a disciple of Jesus. He had the opportunity to walk with Jesus just like all the rest of the disciples. But he went away sorrowful because he wasn't willing to give up his riches, give up his position. Walking with Jesus requires sacrifice. Although I would say the sacrifice that we make is nothing in comparison to the blessings that we receive. I think Peter wouldn't have gone back. He didn't want to go back. He was thankful for the call that he got. So I want you to imagine spending 3.5 years walking with Jesus around ancient Israel. Just walking, spending time with him, listening to him. You know, he had no place to lay his head. No money, really, to speak of. Just wandering around, camping, I suppose. Maybe staying with people. But you got to hear his words, though. Words, never a man spake like this man. You got to see his miracles. You got to learn directly from the Son of God. That would just be amazing, you know? So Peter ended up in Christ's inner circle. And mostly I think this is because Peter wanted to be there. Peter wanted to be close to Christ. Wherever Christ was, whatever he did, Peter wanted to be with him. And maybe some of the other apostles, they didn't push so hard to be right there with Christ all the time. Maybe they, I don't know, but it seems like Peter and James and John had this closer connection with Christ. And I think it was just because they wanted it, maybe more than some of the others. You know, he was privileged, along with James and John, to see the transfiguration of Christ on the mountain. They were also able to see miracles and see things that the rest of the apostles didn't actually see. But why did Peter walk with Jesus? Let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 6. This is Peter talking himself, so we'll get the answer from him. John 6, 68. The Bible says, Simon Peter answered him, because Jesus had been teaching, and many of his disciples turned away from him and walked no more with him. And Jesus asked, you know, are you going to go away too? Are you going to leave too? In verse 68, Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So Peter knew there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. He knew this was the Messiah, and he's like, there's no other place to go. I'm going to follow you forever. Let's go to Mark chapter 8. And Mark actually is largely written from Peter's experience, as far as I understand. Mark chapter 8, starting in verse 27. And Jesus is asking a question to his disciples, an important question. Mark chapter 8, verse 27, and Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, whom do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others, one of the prophets, basically Moses. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter answered and saith unto him, thou art the Christ. And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. So Peter was very quick to answer, you're the Christ, you're the Messiah, you're the anointed one, you're the promised one. And to me, Peter's statement here, and in several places actually, is one of the greatest proclamations in Scripture. Because, I mean, he was proclaiming Christ the Messiah. I mean, he was saying, we believe, we're sure that you're the Messiah. I'm going to switch to Matthew chapter 14. And we're going to talk about maybe one of the most famous stories in the life of Peter. Matthew chapter 14. And we'll get back actually to the previous passage in Mark. Matthew 14 and verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. So they're afraid, you know, they're thinking this is a ghost or something. Maybe they don't understand the state of the dead very well, or I don't know exactly. But they're thinking it's a ghost or maybe an evil spirit or something. And they're all afraid, so afraid, that they're crying out for fear. And these are hardened men. These are people who were used to trouble. They were used to, I mean, they would get into fights and all kinds of stuff, most likely. They're afraid. Verse 27, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. So Peter quickly goes from being so afraid he's crying out to saying, well, if it's you, could I walk on the water with you? I would like to come and walk on the water. So he's very quick to respond to different situations. I think I'd been maybe a little more like Thomas, and maybe make sure this is this is a good situation here. And Jesus said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And you know, this is like, there's only two people in history who have walked on water. Nobody at that point except Christ. So Christ was walking on water. And now Peter's walking on water. And as far as we know, they're the only two people who have ever walked on water. So he got to, our title is Walking with Jesus. He got to walk with Jesus on the water, on the waves, on the lake. And that's a pretty unusual experience, probably something he never forgot. But you know, if Jesus bids us to walk with him, it matters not whether it's on the sea or on the land. It doesn't matter. He's made provision for us. All his biddings are enablings. Verse 30, and when he saw the sea boisterous or strong, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. So at first he's looking toward Christ. He's focused on Christ. And then he's like, whoa, actually, this is a little more scary out here than I thought. You know, this is pretty bad out here. And he starts looking at the trial instead of Christ. But praise the Lord, he knew what to do. He cries out and he says, Lord, save me. And that's what we need to do when we come into those kind of circumstances. We need to cry out to Christ. He will save us. Verse 31, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? So why were you doubting? Well, we always doubt if we look at the trial, if we don't look at Christ. So let's go back to Mark chapter 8, and we'll pick up where we left off in verse 30. So, Peter had just said, you are the Christ. He had confessed who Christ was. And the next few verses are very interesting. And he charged them, this is Christ, that they should tell no man. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And this is not what anyone was teaching at the time about the Messiah. The Messiah wasn't supposed to die. The Messiah wasn't supposed to suffer these things. And in verse 32, and he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. And when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. So he's saying, you're focused on this worldly greatness. You're focused on this worldly kingdom. But he says, Get thee behind me, Satan. It was Satan speaking through Peter. But the interesting thing is, a few verses before, a few minutes before, Peter was saying, Thou art the Christ. That was at the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And then a few minutes later, he's speaking with the inspiration of Satan. And that's how fragile maybe our lives are, as far as that's how quick it can happen. Sometimes we are working for Christ. We're saying the words of Christ to people, or, you know, to our families even, or whatever. And we can begin to speak the words of Satan. It just, you know, we got to watch and pray. We got to, you know, guard against that happening. So Peter did say many things that were interesting. And let's go to Luke chapter 22. He was definitely quick to talk. Let's see. Luke 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Basically, that he may shake you out, that he may, you know, sift you out of the wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now, if I was Peter, and I followed Christ for 3.5 years, what are you talking about? When I'm converted. I mean, I've been doing miracles. I've been doing all these things. I've followed you the whole time. Why are you saying when you're converted? You know, I would have took that pretty hard. But Peter doesn't seem like he even heard that. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both to prison and to death. So basically, you know, wherever it takes me, I'm going to follow you. He should have humbled himself and said, Lord, how's this going to happen? How can I avoid this? But no, he's like, no, I'm gonna make it. You know, I can withstand anything. In verse 34, and he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt deny me thrice. that thou knowest me. So basically, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. And Peter must be like, whoa, that's, I don't think so. You know, walking with Jesus brought them to the cross. It brought them to his cross, but it also brought them to their own cross. Peter died on a cross as well. And, you know, following Jesus ourselves, it will bring us to a cross too. We're going to have to give up some things. We're going to have to make sacrifices. We may die. And, you know, sometimes we think, well, I could do anything for Christ. Well, Peter thought that. So Peter denies Christ. And Jesus, in the judgment hall, he looks across and sees Peter, looks at Peter after that third denial. And you have to imagine that look was of compassionate love. He had this, maybe pity even, you know. And it broke Peter's heart. He ran out of there, a broken man. And, you know, you have to imagine how difficult that experience was. I think it was so bad for Peter that he later didn't know if Christ would accept him back. So that's why later on Christ says, tell my disciples and Peter that I'm going to meet them at the Sea of Galilee. He wanted Peter to know, I still want you. I still love you. You're still part of my group. So Peter does this. Peter denies Christ. But 50 days later, Peter preaches a magnificent sermon on the day of Pentecost. And he's not afraid. He's not afraid at all. Christ had forgiven him. Christ had reaffirmed his apostleship. But you can't preach like Peter preached without having a conversion experience. Like, he had a conversion experience during those 50 days. And it just shows how quickly God can change someone's life. Now, Peter wasn't all bad during the 3.5 years with Jesus. He was growing. But there was a big difference from the Peter before Christ died and the Peter that stood up and spoke to the people that day of Pentecost. Big difference. God can change you. You know, God can change us very quickly if we're willing. Sometimes it takes trials. Sometimes it takes these experiences that lead us to allow him to do that. And I think Peter finally was humbled. And he was like, well, I guess I can't do it on my own. I can't do it by myself. But he's filled with the Holy Spirit. And he has, seems like, no fear at all. A little bit later, he was brought before the Sanhedrin. And he tells them, we ought to obey God rather than men. You know, I'm going to obey God. So the man who shrank in fear at the crucifixion now spoke with courage and boldness. Love had taken the place of fear, and now he was willing to go anywhere with Jesus. And, you know, even in the book of Acts, he experienced so many amazing things. I mean, he would walk down the street and people would be healed because his shadow overshadowed them. And that's like, it wasn't Peter. I mean, it was God. But to experience that, to be part of that, would be pretty amazing. I want to read a verse from Peter's own lips, from Peter's own pen, I should say. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. And this is Peter writing to the churches. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. It says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps." So he's saying, you know, that's the goal of life, following in the steps of Jesus. This is what God is calling you to do, to walk where Jesus walked. And, you know, there's a lot of people who like to go over to Israel, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing, or the Holy Land or whatever, and see all these things, and I think it's great. I mean, I would love to go there. But we can walk in Jesus' steps here, closer in Jesus' steps here than we could over there. Those are the steps he really wants us to follow. I'm going to go to Revelation 14. This is our last text. Revelation 14 and verse 4. This is the 144,000 who God, who are ready for the second coming. When Christ comes, 144,000. And it says, "These are they," this is the middle of the verse, "which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb." So, you know, if we want to be ready when he comes, we follow him wherever he goes now. And then we'll be ready and we'll follow him all the way to heaven. He's gonna catch us up into the air. We're gonna have that period of time, whatever time it takes. I think it takes about a week, according to the Bible, to get there. And it's gonna be a pretty amazing trip. And it's gonna be not only us who are alive, but everyone who has died in Christ. We're all gonna be together. And it's gonna be amazing. But that's what it means to walk with Jesus. It's to follow him wherever he goes, all of his steps. And Peter tried to do that, even on before Christ ascended to heaven. He wanted to be right there behind Christ, right there ready to go wherever Christ went. And you know, if you look at Peter's life, you might think he lived a life of hardship and he died a martyr's death. That's true. But he had joy and happiness. He had God with him. And that's a much better life. Even if it's hard, even if it leads to death, doesn't it? It's much better with Jesus. So in conclusion, if we want to walk with Jesus, we have to respond to his call. If we don't respond, you know, it means nothing. We might have to forsake our fishing boats, and we have to lose our self-confidence. Pretty much all of us have some self-confidence where we trust ourselves more than God. And, you know, even if we're not where we should be, because Peter wasn't where he should have been a lot of the time, you got to keep walking with Jesus. You just got to keep moving along. And, you know, Christ will bring you to where you need to be. And if we start to falter on the waves of life, we call out to him. We say, "Lord, save me, help me." You know, Peter made great mistakes, but he chose to walk with Jesus, and he never stopped. And sometimes we're tempted to stop. We're like, "I don't really know. Maybe it's not worth it." But we just got to keep going. Don't look back at your mistakes. Look ahead to Jesus. And, you know, I really think Peter is a great example of what God can do with an ordinary person. You know, I consider myself an ordinary person. And Peter probably would have considered himself an ordinary person. But God can do great things with ordinary people. In fact, almost all the people he's ever used in history have been ordinary people. He's used a few great people, a few people in position, but usually it's ordinary people. And he has a plan for each one of us as we follow him, as we follow Christ's steps. You know, there's going to be amazing things, just like in the life of Peter, that he's going to do for us. Let's bow our heads as we close here. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we see what you did in the life of Peter, Lord. He was a strong person, Lord. He was somebody who was quick to speak. And sometimes he didn't say what he should have said. Sometimes he did things that weren't the best, Lord, but you never gave up on him. And he never gave up on you. And we're so thankful for that example. We just pray, Lord, as we live our lives, that we would walk in the steps of Jesus, that we would follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. Lord, if there are things we need to sacrifice, if there are things that we need to leave behind, Lord, help us to be willing to do that, because being a disciple of Jesus is so much greater, so much more amazing, Lord. We just pray that you can use us, even in a small way, like you used the Apostle Peter. Each one of us have different skills and abilities and opportunities, but you know exactly how to use those things for you. So guide and direct us, Lord. Bless us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.